You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Lori Spencer and Rick Schmidt. On this, the second day of October in the year of our Lord, 2021, hope everybody's having a good weekend. Here, we got about 75 degrees, light rain, and boy, do we need the rain. But anyway, one thing I wanted to comment on before we get started on gardening is I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but even mainstream media is now reporting on the supply chain disruptions and subsequent shortages of products on the shelves. Now, I don't know where it is, how it is where you guys live, folks, but here, our shelves, and especially like Walmart or in the grocery department, I'd say are between 10 and 20% bare every time I go in there. So just be aware it's coming. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Waltons. I hope everybody's doing well.
Yep.
John Boy, little Susie.
All good.
Perfect.
You know,
perfect. So,
that's what I was thinking when this started. I was just going to say, what came to my mind, too. As soon as Rory said, good morning, Rick, I'm thinking, oh, crap, the Waltons.
Yep. There was
I mean, both of you.
There was a father who had three daughters. Oh, yeah. This, back when the
wrong
world
show.
Was still innocent. Oh, man.
That's a Brady Bunch.
Oh yeah, that Marsha Brady. Everybody had a crush on Marsha. I don't know why. Well, I guess because she was about the right age, and you know, if you were like 12 or 15, you started noticing Marsha. Never mind. So look here, with respect to the supply problem, if you look online, there is no shortage of Marshas. It's an interesting thought, and it's only a thought. I'm not going to get into it at all. But on the Kaiser Report, they were suggesting that that we have supply chain issues, which are going to get worse. And the reason that they're suggesting that, well, really, they're predicting it, honestly, is that. They're trying to cover over the supply chain problem by printing money. Printing money is enabling people to basically stay home and be non-productive. They make more money not doing things than doing things, so they're not doing things. When you have a supply chain problem, which is going to be catalyzed, assuming you know what catalytic is, catalyzed by a policy which pays people to not produce, then what you get is non-productive human beings, which exacerbates a supply chain issue. And so I don't think that it's any stretch that Max Kaiser suggests that this isn't over. And if you were hoping that things would get back to normal, this is normal. Your supply chain problems are going to stay the same or most likely get worse over the next, ongoing, really, but you're going to start noticing it in a big way probably in the next 3 to 6 months, I think, if you haven't already, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to be that long. I think we're going to start seeing real difficulties the end of this month, and the beginning of November, I think, is probably the time frame when we're really going to start seeing that the shelves are really empty.
Well, to that point, I want to suggest this. Tim and I talked about this before the show. You've got real shipping issues all over the place. I heard this.
All over the world.
For life of me, I cannot remember this. There apparently is a linkage that is used in every semi. I don't think it was described to me what linkage it is, but they come from China and they use the last one in August. There are no more of these linkages around. And I'm here to tell you that because I'm a conspiracy theorist, which indicates that I'm more intelligent than trusting people, I'm going to guess that somehow they knew that. And and they just, you know, are crimping the production and or supply of that particular linkage. So your shipping issues are going to get worse. So what if you don't have your Christmas gifts by the end of this month, man, I hate to say this, but the rest of your family is going to have to, they're going to wind up being forced to put Christ back in Christmas, because materialism is going to be out the window. They're going to be looking forward to grace at dinner. And so I hope you're picking up what I'm putting down. Do your shopping now for Christmas, or you're going to wind up having to develop a spiritual life. I'm real sorry. I know that's rough news for Saturday morning. I also later on, after we're going to talk about gardening, really, but later on I want to talk about cryptos for just a minute, because suddenly the sleeping giant woke up, and there's some interesting stuff going on, and I think there's a reason for that. In the meantime, though, there was a bunch of gardening stuff from last week that we got to, and I'm going to go fast, really, because there's a lot of it, and there's no point in spending 20 minutes talking about okra. I watched a Lazy Dog Farms, who is one of the guys from the Haas Tools thing, split off. I do like videos, although they tend to be more family-oriented and less scientific. If you like that sort of thing, I like to sit down with a cup of coffee and visit with their family while they dig sweet potatoes. It's a nice, quiet morning. Of the winners of the they trialed seven okra varieties, and the winners turned out to be Okinawan Pink, something called Chakri, and the all-time champion Jambalaya. That is turns out to always be the big production winner. And another one called Burmese. If you like okra, and I do, and if you like gumbo, and I do, then okra is really a necessity. You just can't really have gumbo without okra. You really can't. And
exactly.
Agree.
Yeah. And then, of course, down south, they do a lot of things like fried okra. I've never understood pickled okra. I think it's, you know, kind of snot-slinging weird. That is kind of a slimy mess. I don't really get that. But
I put that right in with boiled okra.
Yeah, that or blowing your nose incorrectly. So moving on to elephant garlic. Now, I wanted to bring this up last week, but early in the week, the elephant garlic supply basically came alive. And I, with Haas Tools, I had one of those. I clicked on this little button that said, alert me when the stuff is in, and I got an alert, and I called right away, and they were out of 10-pound bags already. And I said, now, just hold on a minute. I just got an email this morning. How in the heck can you run out of 10-pound bags you know, between now and 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, we've had it in for a couple of days. Well, but you just emailed me today. Well, okay. We can maybe, let me talk to Mrs. Haas. Well, we can give you 2 5-pound bags for the price of 10. All right, okay, that sounds fair, seeing as how I'm like, you know, a really good customer, and there's really no difference between 2 5s and 1 10, honestly. So the deal was, is that, and I know, you know, some of you are going to faint. It was like $110 for 10 pounds of elephant garlic. But I think that gave me, oh, man, I forgot how many cloves. I do know the garage smells like an Italian restaurant. So
not
this
wrong
is the
with
time.
That.
No, not really. The here in Zone 5B, you would get 2 weeks before your first frost date, which here would be All Saints Day for you Satan worshipers, All Hallows Eve. We're gonna get that in 2 weeks before the first frost date, and that would mean for me the middle of this month, middle of October. If you'd be north of me, by let's say Iowa, you probably need to be getting that in the ground like post haste, like right now. Boot Hill, that's the bottom of the state. You know, probably right around the 1st of November. Something like that. So it goes in like 2 week increments going as we go south through the zones. So you want to get that in. You want to get that sprouted before you get your first frost date. While we're on the subject, something that I was looking at this weekend is, and this is a guy, he does a nice job. He is called, his name is Mark, and he has a YouTube channel called The Self-Sufficient Me, and he's an Aussie, which for those of you people who have a thesaurus, that means he's from Australia. And the name of his video was 6 Reasons Why Your Garlic Is Small. Very interesting, but the reason I'm bringing this up now is because some of these 6 reasons have to be addressed at the time of planting, which, depending on who you are, is like, you know, either 2 weeks past or 4 weeks in the future. But now is the time you got to look into this. I'm talking about elephant garlic because that's my favorite, but there are many other varieties that are just smaller. You know, they're golf ball size, the soft necks, the hard necks, and all that kind of thing, and they all have different tastes, different smells, different flavors. I like elephant garlic mostly because it really isn't garlic, and I mentioned this, it's really a leek, so it's very mild, but it's also very big. These cloves can be as big as your big toe. I mean, they're huge, but because they're mild, you're going to use more of it, which is fine because they're bigger. So the variety makes a difference. The amount of water it gets makes a difference. This video contains some information suggesting that where he got his garlic seed garlic, there is a garlic farm, and it's on a slope, and the garlic at the bottom of the hill got bigger than the garlic at the top of the hill, which indicates simply that the runoff was something that the garlic appreciated. So, you know, if you're going to starve your garlic of water, you're going to get little garlic. Poor soil can be a problem, poor drainage, poor soil. One of the biggest problems is going to be, of course, fertilizer. So at the time, you really want to fertilize your garlic at the time you put it in. And because it's not a flowering plant, any balanced fertilizer is going to do 10, 10, 10, 12, 12, 12, 15, 15, 15, whatever. A balanced fertilizer is going to be great, because you want that root development. But then, you know, come spring, though, you're going to want to start feeding it yet again. You don't need to, you're not going to feed it all winter, obviously. But come spring, you're going to want to get maximum growth out of it. So you're going to want to give it a couple more feedings of a balanced fertilizer. This stuff gets planted deep. I mean, I'm talking 4 to 6 inches down. This is not a flower. You need to bury this stuff deep. And not as deep as my friend plants flower seeds. He puts them a foot down. We'll get to that. We'll get to that momentarily. This is what happens when your parents do not exercise their fiduciary responsibility. Thank you, Jennifer, teach your children well. Your father's hell. I'm going to write a song. So what you got to do is fertilize these things now at the time of planting, and again in the spring, a couple of times. And just to skip forward, and we'll talk about it later, next year, but when the first two or three leaves on the bottom turn yellow, you got to get them out of there. That's probably going to be in the middle of the country, late May. Rust, you know, these things can get disease, although it's never happened to me. You could spray them with some copper if you like. I use copper on everything around here, tomatoes, squash, everything, zucchini, cucumbers, whatever, copper spray. It keeps the disease off. Timing. Okay, if you're going to mess up your timing, you're going to mess up your garlic. So you need to be on time with the planting, which is why I'm telling you that if you want to give this a shot, I think a 5-pound bag of garlic, you can buy even 1 pound of elephant garlic from them. I don't know why you would want to do that. You're going to wind up with about 8 cloves. It would be fun. I mean, you know, if you just want to do like a giant pot, like a 24-inch pot, and you just want to do that and grow yourself 8 heads of garlic, well, that's, to me, that's better than growing no garlic. So, and for you ladies, it does keep the men back a couple steps. You might be interested in that kind of thing. So get your timing right. Get it in 2 weeks before your first frost date. And if you don't know when that is, shame on you. But you can go to Farmer's Almanac online or buy it at the hardware store. I love my farm. I keep them. Every year I keep them because they're pretty cool. It's interesting to look back through them. They've got a lot of fascinating issues, articles in them anyway. It's not just all, Zodiac stuff. And there's interesting stuff in there, good stuff. Sunrise, sunset, just all kinds of things. But you can find the first frost date in there if you don't know what it is. Last week, right as we hit the 11 o'clock bell, I was going to talk about Rudbeckia herta. Rudbeckia herta, black-eyed Susans. This is a, to me, I mean, oh, I know, somebody said, well, you can't eat them. No, well, no, you can't, but it's a cool flower. And the reason I'm going to bring it up is because I learned a bunch of stuff that I'm going to share with you that I did not know. And I'm a little surprised I did not know because I'm older and I should have figured this out by now, but I didn't. But at least I figured it out. And there are a number of varieties of this stuff that we have around here growing the typical classical black-eyed Susan, which is a yellow flower. We've got some that grow strictly as a perennial, and they have like a hairy stem, like a fuzzy stem, and they're very fragile. But we also have these things that come up in these massive bunches, with shiny leaves, very stout stems. They make an okay cut flower, not as good as zinnias. Zinnias can last a week or two. These things won't last more than 4 or 5 days. But there are more cultivars out there, if I'm using the right word, than just the yellow ones. There is something called Indian Summer, which is absolutely amazing. It looks like an Indian blanket flower. It's a musical flower. We'll be right back.
Okay, hold that thought, Rick. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. Okay, Rick, you were talking about black-eyed Susie flowers and Indian summer sunset.
Yeah, I did. Indian summer, there's there's another one called the Denver Daisy, which is also real pretty. They're multicolored. These things are many of them are really just shocking looking for a black-eyed Susan. If you're used to the one we have, which is actually called Gold Sturm, S-T-U-R-M, which is probably German, it's storm, gold storm. So if you've ever seen a field of black-eyed Susans, it would look like a gold storm. Well, it looked like a gold sturm. The Denver Daisy, which was created, it's also a very pretty one. It was created, bred, for the 150th anniversary of the city of Denver. Then the lefties took it over and said that it was hate speech, but they're expensive. So you pay like, God, $10 for 25 seeds, but we'll get to the planting of them in a minute. There's another one called Prairie Sun, which is also gorgeous and multicolored. There is one called Irish Eyes, which is interesting. Instead of having the black center or the super dark purple, almost black center, it has a green center. So that's kind of cool. There's one called Cherry Brandy, and that one is that flower is the whole flower is really dark. It's multicolored, but there's no yellow in it at all. It's just kind of a dark red and really dark, like shades of burgundy. There's another one called Cherokee Sunset, one called Prairie Glow. Now, here's the deal about the seeds. and my neighbor who plants them good. Last year, and I think I mentioned this on the air, already, but this is a time to just go over it one more time. A mind is a terrible thing. that's right.
Yep.
I'm wrecking somebody's saying. I gave this. He was admiring my Gold Sturm Black Eyed Susans and said I'd like to have some of those. And when the season was passed, I gave him a great big bouquet of dead flowers. And I said, you know, take these home, walk them out to the edge of your woods where you think you'd like to see them, drop them on the ground, and just stomp all over them and just leave them there. Well, I guess he thought I was full of manure. And about a week later, I said, well, did you plant your seeds? And he said, I planted them good. And I said, what does that mean? And he goes, oh, I put them about a foot down. And I'm like, holy hell. Those won't come up till the next ice age. So here's the deal. So because I'm paying, you know, anywhere between $5 and $14 for one package of these seeds, I think I need to exercise my responsibility in figuring out how they're planted. The planting depth on a black-eyed Susan is zero, okay? Let me rephrase that. Zero. You don't plant them, okay? So God created these things to sell seed. What it is, and I thought we had perennial black-eyed Susans because they come up in the same spot every year, and they come up thick, thick, thick. Well, it turns out they are a what's called a short-lived perennial or a biennial. But what they do is they self-sow themselves so madly that you'll think they're a perennial, so it just doesn't matter. So, you know, I would, in a way, they are a perennial. They just never give up. So, but the planting depth is zero. You put them, what you'd want to do if you wanted to try some cool varieties is I would take a bag of inexpensive compost, sprinkle it out on the ground, and then put the seeds on top of that and just walk on them. Don't cover them. Don't do anything. Now, here's another really important thing. They have to be stratified. They have to go through a winter cycle. They have to spend time frozen or they won't grow. Once again, God's finest work. He has pine trees that won't sprout unless there's been a forest fire. He's got all kinds of inventions to his patents. He's got patents. So this is one of the things he's done. And so the reason I'm bringing this up now, you're saying, oh, but flower season's over. Well, no, actually it isn't. If you don't get your black-eyed Susan seeds down, you know, between now and, let's say, Thanksgiving, you ain't going to have none. So you need to pick a spot for them, put a little bit of something down, sprinkle them out, walk them in, and walk away. Don't do anything else.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out the kosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. And we are talking about flowers, particularly black-eyed Susies.
Yeah, but first I got a couple of announcements real quick, folks. First one is, this hour is being brought to you by Water Revolution, who features the Ready Pure Emergency Water Filter System. If you want to learn about it, go to ruralsurvival.life. That's ruralsurvival.life. You'll see two banners there, one for Water Revolution and one for Extendovite. Extendovite is our other sponsor. If you want to just feel better in general, learn about Extendovite and click on that banner. And thirdly, we still have a full inventory of the mosquito netting mask. If you want one, again, go to ruralsurvival.life. There's a link highlighted in level, yellow, on the left-hand side near the top. Click on that, and you can learn about those. And that's it for the commercials, folks. Rick, please proceed.
Yes. Well, I do have two things to say about your commercial. First of all, if you don't have a water filter, you got problems. You shouldn't be drinking city water. If you're drinking well water, that's fine with me. I think that's good. I envy you. But most people don't. And the other thing is the mosquito masks. You sent me 15 of them. I appreciate that. I have been giving them to my friends. They absolutely love them. When we go into buildings where we're fixing scratches and things in wood, that's my job. If you wear a mask, which a lot of buildings, even though there's no mask mandate in this town, these losers still want you to wear a mask. Oh, unbelievable. If you wear a mask and you've got magnifying glasses, it'll fog your glasses and stuff like that. With these masks, your glasses stay clear so you can do your work and see at the same time. That is really an advantage if you're into artwork. With respect to flowers, if you're going to do, there are a number of seeds that fall into that category, but black-eyed Susans is what we're talking about, you would get them in before the winter so that, you know, if you live mm-hmm. until next spring, you should have some amazing flowers. One of the reasons that we're doing this is I'm trying to take, we've got 16 food beds, but we've got numerous other beds, maybe another 10 or 12 that are flower beds. And because of the amount of work involved, and I'm getting older, we're trying to rotate a lot of these flower beds around to something that is a perennial so that we don't have to work so hard. And this certainly fills that bill. Before we go to tomatoes, and I really do need that, I'm only going to be around here till about the top of the hour, and so for those of you that would like to call in and abuse me, you'll have to wait till next week. Before we go to tomatoes, I would like to talk briefly about, we were talking about no-dig gardening as opposed to traditional tilling. I saw an amazing experiment, and it was by a person, you can find it, I think it was Zimcom, Z as in zebra, I-M-M-com, C-O-M-M. It's only about a 7-minute video. Salina, Kansas has only had 0.4 inch of rain since June, so the corn's flat dead. They're out there doing traditional farming, and there's no indication, honestly, that no-dig, no-till would have fixed the problem. But there was a guy from a college doing an experiment on this no-till. It's called, I think, Till No-Till by Zimcom. It's only about a 7-minute video. What he does, he's got a number of experiments set up using chunks of soil, fist size, samples from a no-till garden, and then traditional farming where you've got tillage, but it's only about 20 feet away. So you're not talking about importing soil from anywhere. He did a couple of tests. One was what's called a flake test, where they suspend the soil at the top of a large clear beaker of water, and they watch it. It's suspended in a screen up at the top, and the soil sample from the field that had been regularly tilled started coming apart immediately, whereas the sample from the no-till bed basically sat there and just started absorbing water because of the amount of organic material there. They did another experiment where they took the same two more samples, but from the same place, and sprinkled phosphate fertilizer on the top of them, and then set up a situation where each of them got sprinkled evenly with a cup of water, and they watched what came out the bottom, but they also watched for runoff. The no-till sample, nothing came out the bottom. It absorbed the phosphates, and it absorbed the water, a whole cup of water. The sample from the farmland that had been tilled, not only did it really not absorb anything, it all ran off and slid off. It crusted over or formed like a like a slick glaze on the top because it was, you know, because of the lack of organic material, which we'll get to in 1 second, and we'll just going to hit it quick. It all ran off with the phosphate and went into a dish, so you have this dish of runoff with phosphate in it. So not only were they having a fit getting the traditional farm sample to absorb water, it also did not absorb the nutrient. It ran off. So you've got a number of problems with this. You've got, because of the lack of organic material in there, which is eaten up by the tilling, and I'll explain that. So you wind up with soil compaction and erosion. And you would say, well, if it's compacted, how can it erode? Well, it just does because of the runoff. Okay, so why is there much less organic material in the sample where there has been tillage? When you till soil, you flip it over and you oxygenate it, which makes the microbes start eating the organic material at a ridiculous pace. And a lot of that stuff gases off. It off gases into the atmosphere instead of staying in the soil where you want it. So the result is that you wind up literally burning off your organic content at an abnormal pace. It's something that's really unhealthy. Now, you're always going to find corporate farms tilling. You just are. And the way they're going to make up for that is by putting down a bunch of inputs like NPK and that kind of thing, lime, NPK, the things you see in a traditional farm field, in a corporate farm. You, as somebody who wants to create food for yourself, that is not a terribly sustainable process for a number of reasons, and one is, of course, that it's not that healthy to be using massive amounts of NPK. The other thing is, what if you run into a supply chain problem where you can't get it? What are you going to do then? So, correct. You know, you need... So, yeah, it's a problem for you in a number of ways. Plus, then we've got the whole argument, which, and this is why you want to look into this, is because there's another difference, and it's really important, is that is a no-till bed, which is breaking down naturally with the microbial life. It is a complete fertilizer. It not only has NPK, but it has the other 13 essential micronutrients, which are being created organically, automatically, by, you could say, God's plan. And I'm not a no-till Nazi, so don't go there. You can do whatever you want. But as I said last week, it would be prudent for you to start just overlaying your beds once or twice a year with an inch or two of compost, and slowly but surely rotate them around to no-till, so that you lower your work, you lower your costs, and you improve the quality of your food. And that way, if we run into additional supply chain problems, they won't be problems for you. And if you really wanted to, you could create your own compost, so you don't even really, that wouldn't necessarily be one of your inputs. So that is about all I want to say about that. But if you watch that 7-minute video, it'll just blow your socks off. It is, I watched it on a lark, but holy cow, that was a lot of amazing information in 7 minutes that I had no idea. Here's another thing I had no idea about. I've been telling you people for the last 2 weeks that I thought I had my tomato game all dialed in. Well, now I'm not so sure, because I learned some stuff that I didn't know. if you live long enough, that's going to happen to you. If you're humble enough to admit that you'll always be an idiot, that's good for you. There are heirloom tomatoes and there are hybrid tomatoes, but there is something else. There is called an improved heirloom. And the reason I'm bringing this up, and I know, Kenny, you just said, duh. I gave my brother-in-law some Sun Gold tomatoes, which he was supposed to grow, which, because he's not into this, he killed them almost immediately. I mean, and I gave him 25-gallon pots filled with potting soil with the plants in them. They were, all he had to do was plug and play, but no. So, you know, he doesn't want to be bothered, so he puts the sprinkler on them, gives them a virus, and in 2 weeks they're all dead. Okay, so out of embarrassment, he goes up to Lowe's, and he gets some improved heirlooms. Okay, well, at that point, I didn't have enough knowledge on the situation to really. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, that's what idiots do. They go to Lowe's and get their tomato plants. Okay, so I'm watching this video by Never Sink Farms, and I've mentioned that I really like this guy, Connor Crickmore. He is a Valium pill wrapped in a Quaalude sandwich, but he's a brilliant guy, and I like to watch his videos because his information is outrageous. And he was talking about the things that he likes to grow for his farm, and he is growing. You see, you know, I get high production out of my hybrids. There's no question about it, but the taste is not that of an heirloom. So we have this conundrum. You know, how to get high production with heirloom taste? Well, the truth is you can't do it. But then you've got gardening space. You know, how big would your garden have to be to get enough production out of heirlooms to make it worthwhile? Well, it'd have to be gigantic. Well, I'm not going to do that. I don't have that kind of space. So what are we going to do? Well, next, I knew exactly what I was going to plant next year, and now I don't. Because this guy's got three seeds that he uses, three plants that he uses, and he gets them from Johnny's Select Seeds, which it's an okay farm. I like them. They do have a lot of amazing stuff. But what he is using is a red. These are going to be slicing tomatoes. Not, you know, Sun Gold will always be my odds-on favorite. But he's got these improved heirlooms, which will have, you know, let's say, most of the taste of an heirloom, and they're disease resistant. But he's growing these in greenhouses where the leaves never get wet. So let me give you the names before we hit some kind of a break. It is called a Monero, M-A-N-E-R-O, Monero. It's a black tomato, which is going to be like a black creme, which is everybody's taste test favorite. There's a yellow called Marigold, M-A-R-G-O-L-D. And another one, which is a French. Now, this is going to be a red one. Marbonne, B-O-N-N-E, as in French. That is a red slicing tomato. These are all improved heirlooms, which means they fall under the category of an F1 hybrid. Now, I wasn't going to do any of this next year. I was going to strictly, the only heirlooms that I was going to use was the Sun Gold patio tomatoes, which are, I'm still getting them. I just picked 2 pounds yesterday. So I'm still getting about 2 pounds a week. Everything else is stone cold dead. The reason I'm bringing this up now is because I managed to keep my hybrids, which should have been dead in August. I managed to keep them another month by spraying them with copper and spinosad. Okay. So here's the question now in my mind. Is that if I use improved heirlooms, can I make it work outside, not in a greenhouse where it never rains? Of course, in a greenhouse, they'll be using a drip tape. They'll be watering on the ground only, always keeping the leaves dry to avoid any fungal diseases or any virus. Can I make it work outside by using copper and spinosad sprays once a week and get high production with the taste of an heirloom tomato? That's the question. Now, I've been telling you guys for 2 weeks I knew exactly what I was going to do with my tomato planting. Next year, I was convinced that I was a PhD in tomatoes. I had it all dialed in. Now I am riddled with doubt, and I need to share that. I need to go to confession now, and I hope you'll forgive me. So I'm telling you that
Rick.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're riddled with doubt, that means you're a good PhD, vice a know-it-all PhD that won't accept anything but the proper narrative.
Yeah, the proper narrative, that would be that which comes from the Monday morning quarterbacks of the world, which honestly we don't have time for. You know, these people that are pretty sure they got it all. And they're going to tell you what it is too, so that you can make the same mistakes they're making. You know, we don't have time for those people. So, So, yeah, so, you know, if you, I will keep you apprised. I mean, I'm going to order these seeds now, obviously, and keep them in the fridge, you know, till next year, because I don't know. You know, spring comes, God only knows what's going to be going on with the seed problems. I also ordered, from Haas Tools, because I'm having such great luck with my South Anna butternut squash. By the way, I got some seeds drying out for you. I have ordered some Cherokee cans, which is also a very disease-resistant variety of pumpkin, a Cherokee can.
Okay, hold on, Rick. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. Okay, Rick, you were talking about your tomatoes. Different kinds.
Yes, yes, more or less. Listen, can you hold the callers? I got a couple more things I need to do. Can you hold the callers off till like 11:10 or 11:15?
Yeah.
Yeah, just let me Then I'll evaporate.
Still have tomatoes growing?
The sun goals are still going. I'm still getting, as a matter of fact, later today, I've got 2 pounds that I need to cook down into sun gold pasta sauce and get that jarred up so that we can have that amazing culinary delight all winter. And last year we only had about 4 jars. This year I got about 10. And, when you're depressed and it's winter, there's nothing like a big hot plate of spaghetti with sun gold pasta sauce on it to make you feel better about, look forward to spring. Couple of things. I'm going to hit these subjects real quick, and it's going to sound like the attention deficit circus, which is exactly what this is. 30 days, we have 30 days, till our first frost here. There is a La Nina developing, which it is widely opined. This is going to be a irritating winter. Here in Missouri, as a matter of fact, it's not just here in Missouri. From Kansas City, Missouri, which is the west edge of Missouri, straight north and then straight east all the way to Virginia, that whole northeastern quadrant of the country is supposed to have below normal temperatures and above normal snowfall. I mean, if you want to believe that kind of thing. But buckle in. That's going to be the deal.
Is that coming out of the Farmer's Almanac?
Almanac? No, I've learned kind of not to trust them. I've been watching something called Direct Weather, and every week or so they take out the razor and they strike it, and so they change it a little bit so you can kind of watch it as things develop a little bit. So their forecasts change a bit every week, but so far they have all basically indicated tough winter. If you believe that kind of thing. You might want to go ahead.
I just want to put this out there for where we live down south here. What I'm getting from the Native American community, from multiple sources, is that we're going to have a milder than normal winter here where I live, down in central Missouri.
Well, I'm not there, though. Okay.
You're right. All right, guys, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a top of the hour break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.